Yes, ma'am, all the way in the back.
Hi there, my name's Kelly Jansen. I live just north of Georgetown in Bridgeville, Delaware. I've lived here all my life, and I've never had to come and speak here, so I'm really nervous.
Don't be nervous. Nobody's going to bite you, and it's all going to be fine. You're going to do a great job. I can tell by looking at you. Go ahead.
My mom and dad are in Florida right now, but my dad and his family have lived all their life on Route 17 down in Clarksville, Millville. Mm-hmm. And my mom has lived all her life outside around Georgetown. And I guess I just wanted to say, as somebody who grew up around here, we're kind of used to the smell in the spring and the dirt and the mice that come when the fields are cut. And that's all something that people that grow up in Sussex County are used to. And I think that some of the people that retire here aren't used to that, and they just want to make it more like it was when they were at home. And part of what they do is try to change what the farmers are doing. And I just wanted to come and be in support of Mr. West and what he does to help the farmers, and just be in support of continuing what he's been doing for 34 years and doing really well. And I just heard about it this morning. And I was in town for a couple hours. And while I was in town, I got 40 signatures in support of Mr. West and their efforts to continue their farm and airstrip and heliport operations, helping other farmers and Sussex County residents. And I just wanted to turn that into somebody.
You can just relate to me, please.
Thank you. I was not aware of that.
Thank you.
So that was about it. Thank you.
All right. Very well. Very well. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hello. My name's Barry Warren, and I live directly at the far end, the east end of the airfield. Large house, large building, and back of it adjacent to the airfield. And I just wanted to put it on record that, you know, I fly out of there as well. My father flew out of there for 20 years. I just think it's a very reasonable condition here for this applicant. Being he's operated out of there for so many years, there's been people that have come since the airport's been there. They're probably the ones with concern, but they did have the option not to buy there knowing the airfield is there and in operation. B, I feel that anybody that may be in opposition that lived there before he did it, why is it 34 years later we have a problem with it? For that to go on the record. Secondly, I'd like it to be known, because the property that is around it, you mentioned Barry Moyne, where that I'm the owner. Mm-hmm. There's been people that think I own the airfield. So they naturally come to me and say, hey, what's going on out there? You know, what are you doing, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Mr. West and I are very good friends, but we're not having coffee every morning. I don't know every move that he makes and what he does. But I do know this, that when people have come, oh, the helicopters, the noise, the this, that there is procedures in aviation called noise abatement. And it's a procedure where if there's a concern at any of the ends of the airfields that maybe the noise, or I don't like you flying directly over the house, etc., that you do a left turnout and try to stay away from that area. And I know that he has been so considerate for anybody that has ever came. He's came to me, guy, we're putting noise abatement procedures in place. Please, we cannot exit right, exit left. And you know, I think that's a concession that is very important to be recognized, because turning out when you are departing is not the most favorable thing to do as a pilot. You're taught, you're trained, fly out, runway heading, get to 500 feet, go through your checklist. Here we are taking an extra little safety precaution for them, and I think it kind of decreases my safety that I have to turn out because somebody has moved in the area when the airport has already been in operation. It's just, I just want to go on record. I just think it's, I don't know, it's just not fair. You know, it's just not fair. He's done everything he can do to try to take care of these people's concerns. So as you hear them come up, probably a question would be is, Have you lived there before 74, or have you moved in after 74? It would be a good question for the council to ask them, because they had the choice not to move there. They knew the airfield was there. And if it's prior to, why 34 years? Why now? All of a sudden there's a problem. I'm going to sign petitions. We're going to force this man to do something that he was technically approved for years ago. So,
One of the advantages of a public hearing is that typically we get to hear the truth. Hopefully we get to hear the truth from both sides. And I think that everybody in this room is interested in that. And we appreciate your comments, and we'll take them under advisement. And anybody else that wants to speak. And then these folks are going to tell us what they're really worried about, because you're up here guessing. And I'm guessing.
They've come to me with these concerns.
Okay.
That's how I know.
Okay.
I mean, directly.
Every one of them's come to you?
You want me to stand up and name them when they come up? Yes, he has.
No, okay. I don't.
Well, that's, you know.
I'm not taking an issue with you. Take a deep breath. You're about.
I know. I'm nervous. I'm like the previous speaker. I'm just not the public speaker kind of guy. I just feel so strong.
You need to stop the starting gate on your way home.
No, probably medicine or something might help. But that's my position.
No. All right, sir. Well, we thank you for expressing it. Who's next? Who wants to speak in favor? Yes, ma'am. This lady, and then somebody, but did I see a hand way back here?
Yeah.
Okay, that gentleman all the way in the back.
Hi, Anita West Warner, Frankfort, Delaware. Richard West and Sonia West are my parents. As my father said, I am a C-5 pilot at Dover. I am also a 757-767 first officer for Continental Airlines. Working both in the military sector and the commercial sector, I really appreciate general aviation. Since September 11, 2001, general aviation has taken a huge hit. Very many small airfields have had to crumble because of the airspace that they are in, because of security concerns, particularly in the D.C. area. This is a beautiful area for general aviation. It lends to future generations to have that ability. Airfields like my father's are going away, a dime a dozen, because people don't like them. I'm a little nervous myself. Before 74, as he was saying, doesn't matter when people moved in. Bottom line is this airfield has been there a very long time. Because general aviation has decreased, I would have to say that in all actuality, my father's volume at the airfield has actually decreased. I remember when I was a child, in the summertime, there would be tons of airplanes out there, but as general aviation has gone down, there's less airplanes. So as people come up tonight, I would like to say a lot of them have lived in the area and probably actually have seen a decrease. So my father's not asking for an increase in volume or anything. He's just asking to continue what we have been doing for years. As far as your concerns about private airfields, the FAA mandates that we have sectionals, and that's our map that we use, and on there, West Airport is a private airfield, and it is restricted. What that means is you have to have permission from the owner to fly in. If someone flies into our airfield and does not have permission, all my father has to do is take the number off their plane, call the FAA, and you can lose your license. It is not something that you can just, oh, there's a private airfield, I'm just going to pop in. It is mandated by the FAA that you cannot do so. So that's one way of policing it, I heard that question asked.
Mm-hmm.
As Mr. Morin said, noise abatement is something that throughout the world is becoming a key player, specifically in Europe. Up at the military base, we can't fly over Miss Robinson's trailer, we can't fly over Little Creek, we can't fly over Frederica, we can't fly over anything because everybody knows a C-5 makes awful noise. Small airplanes make noise too, but nothing like you would get in a more metropolitan area or at a bigger airfield. So as Mr. Morin said, my father has said, let's try to be courteous to our neighbors. Let's try to make left turns out. Let's try to avoid houses in the area. And he tells everyone that as they come in. And I think that's something that he's doing that's great for the area and also for the residents. So let's see, any other notes? Oh, you had asked about the 2,000 feet. Yes, that is a federal aviation, 2,000 feet over a wildlife refuge. Of course, our airfield is not considered a wildlife refuge. They are also mapped out on the sectionals as I mapped at what is a wildlife refuge, and it would be something like Bombay Hook. Don't know if you have any questions for me.
Don't appear to, but we thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all the way in the back. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name's Paul Iannucci. I live in Milton, Delaware. I am retired from the military, 26 years, Air Force, off of C-5s, 7,500 hours as a loadmaster. I've also soloed on single-engine aircraft. And my uncle was a flyer, and he, my first time flying was probably when I was 6 years old, and I'd probably still be in the service today if they didn't force me to retire. I first heard about this morning on WGMD when a lot of people were calling in, and Mr. West had called in and was explaining what was going on. And one lady that called in had made a statement about the fuel. She said that there was fuel and hydraulics and all this stuff. Mr. West, from everything I've heard this morning and this evening, has come here to comply with the permit regulation. He's not asked for anything more than to be in compliance. Something I heard these gentlemen over here, one of them talking about, you know, what's to say that it's not going to grow any bigger. He has a private airport with a private airport number. If something was going to be bigger, then you got commercial licenses that would have to be made and all that stuff. So I don't think that even applies to this issue. I would be proud to live next to Mr. West and have those airplanes around there. And with the lady that spoke earlier, Ms. Jameson, what she said about, or the gentleman said about people moving into this area and trying to change things, I'm a transplant myself. I come from Ohio. I came here because of Dover Air Force Base. I think people need to take a hard look, the people that live in the area. If a real estate person is telling you, oh, this house is fine, you got a nice country area, you know, it's just like buying a car. You're going to ask about what the features are about this car. When you buy a home, you're going to ask what's around you, you know, what's going on around here. Is there an airport near me? Do I have an industrial site near me? You know, if you're not asking those questions, shame on you. And Mr. West brought up about the fact, because that was one of the things I was going to bring up. He says he stores no fuel there. He goes to three different airports to get fuel. To me, this gentleman, I don't know him, but from what he's done for the community and people in other areas of the world, my hat's off to this gentleman. Mr. Corman, I've seen his airplane all over Sussex County, Kent County. Never met the man, or I haven't met him yet, but he's back there. That's the first time I've ever seen him, and I've been in this state since 1974. I just think, you know, with everything that's coming around, and one of the things that hasn't been brought up, talking about these helicopters and the state police landing at his port. I'm a former police officer, town of Harrington. When response time down in this county, and it's still just as bad, have been 45 minutes, hour and a half. I mean, and it still goes on to this day because of the area that we live in and an amount of area that the state police have to cover. I've seen the state police land on the side of a road during an accident. Here we have an airport environment where the state police can land. I don't see anything wrong with that. And the folks that live in that area, if something happened to one of their families and a helicopter had to land there, I'm sure they'd appreciate the 5 or 10 minutes difference to get to the hospital to save somebody's life, because that 5 or 10 minutes means a lot. So, I mean, you said something about, well, we don't know what the other side's going to say. This gentleman's all he's asked for is to be in compliance with the laws of the state of Delaware, Sussex County, and our country. And hats off to Mr. West. And I thank you for that.
You're welcome, sir. there anyone else would like to speak in favor? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Boyce, and I have property in Frankfort, Delaware. Actually, our property is adjacent to Mr. West. It is the only property that runs the full length of the runway. We have 100 acres there. Our family's been there for over 100 years. So the transplant issue is out of question. And actually, our house is the closest to the airport. And we have had no issue as far as sound, as far as accidents. I also have a horse boarding stable there. Does not have a problem with any air noise. And as far as the geese, they're welcome to come on our 100 acres.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name's Tom Troublefield. My wife and I, we own property adjoining the West property. And we built a new home there 13 years ago, and it's a great place to live, and it still is, with this airport there. When I got this hearing in the mail about this airport, obviously people were concerned. Because if this has been there 34 years, then why all of a sudden are we getting this in the mail? We thought, okay, is there something that's going to be added here? And I think that's what scared a lot of people. And so a couple neighbors called me up, and I said, look, I'm going to call Richard West, and I'm going to ask him point blank. You know, I'm going to get it straight from his mouth and see what he says. So I called Richard up one night, and I've always known him to be a straight shooter, and we spoke for about a half an hour on the phone. And I asked him, I said, Richard, I will support you 100% as long as everything stays the way it is. I said, but what I would not like to see, I don't want to see banner planes flying over my house. I don't want to have people jumping out of airplanes with parachutes. And I don't want to have a bunch of helicopters.
Without parachutes, do you
know? I'm sorry, with parachutes. but I don't want to see people constant helicopters in and out. And we all know that there's very affluent people that live in the Washington area that have beach homes in the Bethany Beach area. And, you know, they could land there and then be ferried back and forth, and this could be an obvious consistent type situation. But personally, like I said, I spoke to Richard West, and I've always known him to be a pretty straight up guy. And he says, Tom, I'm just trying to do what I've been doing for 34 years. And if that goes on the record that, you know, about the helicopters is a certain amount and, you know, no banner planes, I am very, very satisfied with that.
Well, so far, it's been on the record about 12 times. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else with something new and different? Okay, new and different. Come on up. We've already heard about what a great guy Mr. West is, and we all agree. Can we all agree on that? Is he a great guy? Here. Okay, good. Don't tell me, okay? Tell me something different.
My name is Roland Marvel. Grew up right southeast of his airport.
Okay.
When I was a little boy, my dad would take me over and we'd watch the planes fly out. There was another airport a little further away from us, the name Worktons. We go there, watch the planes. Mm-hmm. I have 2 4-year-old daughters that I want to do the same with, take them to his airport. It was very enjoyable when I was a little boy. Still is today. I'm 30 years old. You know, I'm employed with Mr. West. We get a chance to go out there on, you know, days we can't work. We go out there, we, you know, look at his plane. Maybe another one flies in. It's very enjoyable.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in favor with something new, different, that we haven't already heard? Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm Joel Wharton. I live near Gumboro. Poultry farmer, grain farmer, mm-hmm. Hog farmer, school bus driver, and I'm a private pilot.
That's a popular combination.
Mixes well tonight. Thank you. Mr. West and my grandfather flew together for years, and I'm in the same Flying Farmers organization now that Mr. West is in. As far as the noise abatement, I think most of us have probably been out in our yards on a Sunday afternoon and heard the rolling thunder coming down the road with the motorcycle gangs and, you know, with the Harley. You know, Harleys are getting to be a big thing. I don't think the airplanes going in and out of there are any worse. I know they're not any worse than that, and they don't bother me. If Mr. West probably wanted to be a bad neighbor, if he closed his runway, I say I grow hogs. I guarantee there'd be a lot more people here tonight if the Planning and Zoning Commission could stop them from growing hogs. Probably just on the mere fact of odor instead of noise.
Well, you know, it always smelled kind of like money to me.
Since corn has reached $6, believe me, there's not many hog farms left.
Right.
But anyway.
Corn's smelling more like money right
about
now.
I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else with something different to, in favor? All right, sir.
Gentlemen, my name's Greg McCabe. I'm a farmer in southeastern Sussex. I'm here with a group of other farmers, and I'm speaking for Mr. West and Mr. Corman that I feel this airport and his Mr. Corman's services are essential for the farm community to continue to operate efficiently in southeastern Sussex. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, anyone else? Well, all right. Mr. Weidman, you have been very patient, and I assume that you are going to speak for the opposition or part of the opposition this evening, and according to our rules, attorneys get to go first. Are there any other attorneys present for this evening to speak in opposition? No? Okay, Mr. Weidman.
Thank you.
The floor, sir.
Appreciate it, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I'm Dave Weidman, for the record, representing a group of people who live in the area. And let me just first say that I can assure the commission and the West family that neither I nor any of the people that I represent have anything personal against the West. What we do have, like Mr. Smith pointed out, I believe is a legitimate dispute over a use of a parcel of property. Initially, let me just say that I think the applicant has a huge legal impediment to their proposal, and I've submitted a 7-page letter in opposition. I'm sorry that I submitted it yesterday. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it. I'm not going to read it to you. Hopefully, you will have the time to look at it before you deliberate and make your decision. But what I did in there was outline the parts of the comprehensive plan that do not support this application. And more particularly, what I did was I cited the language, the specific language, that is contrary to this application and would bar the application. And Mr. Willard is a fine attorney. I have a lot of respect for him, and he and I have a dispute, I suppose, over whether the comprehensive plan allows this or not. But I didn't hear anything, and I haven't seen anything that has been cited that allows this application. In fact, if you take a look at the comprehensive plan that you all have worked on, this use is not permitted in this area. This use is a rather, from what we've heard tonight, and I'll get into the problem with the lack of specifics, but I would suggest to you that it constitutes a more intense use of the property that has been contemplated under the application than what has been happening over the past 30 years. And the comprehensive plan directs this type of use to growth areas. And this is, as Mr. Willard said, in a low-density level 4 area where this type of use is not contemplated. So it's contrary to the comprehensive plan, and based upon that fact alone, I think that the application has a serious legal impediment that possibly would not withstand legal challenge. Now, if we were here tonight, and if I was here tonight and my clients were here tonight, simply to hear the applicant say, we want to continue to do what we've been doing, I doubt that we would even be showing up in force, and I doubt that I would have been hired, and hopefully your job would be a lot easier. The problem is this. From everything that I've heard tonight, I feel like we're trying to hit a moving target. What we've heard is that Mr. West intends to continue to do what he's been doing in the past. But you've also heard that perhaps people who are from more affluent areas like the D.C. area can also use the airport. And that's not a use that my clients have been used to in the past. What we've heard is a representative from DelDOT come here, and I wrote this down, and say that, you know, there's a need for several entities that come in and out of that airport. Well, I think that my clients haven't heard that before, and that probably scares them to death. Who are these entities? You heard the same individual say that perhaps it would be helpful for the tourism business and agribusiness. Well, you hear the term agribusiness, and that goes beyond a couple of crop dusters between the months of March and June trying to serve the local farmlands, which, again, my clients have lived with, and if you ask them, I believe they would candidly tell you that they don't have a problem with that type of use that has occurred. The problem is that if you open the door without tight, tight conditions and limitations on this property, then there's going to be a massive expansion of the use of this airstrip, and then it will segue perhaps into public use. One thing that hasn't been brought up tonight that absolutely scares my clients to death, and this is crucial, I believe, for your decision, is that there is an option on this airstrip, a legal option on this airstrip that's been recorded in the land records, and it's located at book 3140, page 204. I only have one copy. I'll submit it to you after I'm done giving you my presentation. Okay. But I'm asking you to take notice of it, legal notice of it. I won't say judicial notice, but legal notice of it, because it is recorded. And maybe you'll hear differently from the applicant after I'm done speaking and my clients are done speaking. But maybe you'll hear that somehow the option's been vacated. But from the search in the land records that we found, there is a retention by the West family of this parcel of property. And under the retention in this deed, this restriction in the deed, the owner of this residual property has agreed to sell the property to K&M Holdings, LLC, in accordance with one or more of three options. And I'm going to briefly describe these options to you. And again, I'm hoping that maybe I'm totally misguided on this and I'm reading it incorrectly or something's been changed. Under option one, any time after the fifth year, the owner, which I believe is the West family, may decide to sell what is called in here the residual property, which is the parcel with the lands with the airstrip. And I think that if you look at the survey, if I'm not mistaken, there's it's designated residual area. And I believe that this deed was conveyed in 2005. So for 5 years, Mr. West may decide to sell the residual land to K&M Holdings LLC outright, which gives him until 2010. That option is not as problematic as the following two. The second option is, and I'm quoting now, at any time during the 30 years immediately following the date of the deed to which this exhibit is attached, if K&M, who owns the option, is desirous of selling its property, then the owner, that's the West family, agrees to sell the airstrip, the residual land, to the same third party as part of a joint sale. So that means that whoever K&M LLC is, if they sell, I guess, adjoining property, then Mr. West has to also sell this residual parcel, which complete, well, I'm just reading from the deed.
And guys, I appreciate your interest.
It'll be clarified. Maybe he'll have a chance to clarify.
We'll get to it. You know, I'll ask a question if I don't understand, and so far I don't understand. So go ahead.
There is a specific formula in option two that is spelled out. Under the third option, and I'm quoting again, it says, at any time during the 30 years immediately following the date of the deed to which this exhibit is attached, K&M, who holds the option, may decide to fully develop its property, which is the subject of the deed to which this exhibit is attached. In the event K&M decides to fully develop the property, and again, it doesn't say in what manner, and no partial development of the property has occurred at the time they make the decision, then the owner, that's Mr. West,
right,
has the right to participate in the development by contributing the residual land to K&M's development project. And in the event that the West family decides to participate in that development project, the owner has to reimburse that's Mr. West, reimburse K&M for 22% of any and all costs incurred by K&M in connection with its attempt to develop the property. So they're contributing to the perhaps infrastructure study costs, those kinds of things. Beyond the three, the third option, which again is for 30 years, there's a specific formula set out by which the West family, the owner, would participate in part of the profit. Now, again, found this in the land records. It applies to this parcel. It specifically describes the 28.55 acre parcel of land. The point is obviously clear by now, I hope, which is that if the West family decided to exercise this option and sell this residual parcel, he can make all the promises in the world to you here today. But if there are specific restrictions and limitations put on this conditional use, then it's out of his hands, and it's going to fall back on you all. In addition, if the second or the third option are exercised, and again, this is a pretty long option. This is 30 years out. I don't know about you all. I plan to be retired by then. But this option, unless something else has been recorded over it, is going to still be in existence. And in the event that K&M, whoever K&M is, decides to sell its property, and I believe you'll find that its property adjoins, and I'm not sure if it's on that survey or not.
It doesn't identify it. My guess is, though, and I'm sure we'll get the answer, is K&M is probably more in Kuiperios.
That was my guess, too, Mr. Robertson, but maybe we'll find out. But in the event that the adjoining landowner, in the event that's K&M LLC, desires to sell its property, then under option two, it appears that the way it's drafted, then the owner, the West family, must sell the residual lands to the same third party. Under option three, if K&M fully develops its property, which is the subject of the deed, then the West family has the right to participate in the development. So you're dealing with, I think, here today, something that has been presented as a, as I said, moving target. And what I would ask you to do is, first of all, as your counsel will advise, take a look at the legal ramifications of a decision to grant it, first of all, because our position and perspective is it is not, does not comport with the comprehensive plan. But in the second alternative, if you decide to grant this conditional use proposal, that you hopefully exercise good planning judgment and be extremely tight on what can and cannot be done on this property. To that end, in my letter, I've listed out, I think, 9 or 10 conditions that my clients would like to see placed upon the property. I think Mr. Izzo, who's going to speak, has additional conditions that he would like you to consider placing on the property. One last thing that I want to say is, and as Mr. Wheatley knows very well, I'm not a mathematician because I think he's the one that caught me in a glaring mathematical error about 5 years ago. But I think I've got this.
Now, see, I've forgotten all about that.
You'll never forget that. I'm positive you'll never forget that. I thought I'd preempt that here tonight, though. We've heard today that part of the restrictions on this conditional use would be no more than 9 landings and takeoffs per day. According to my math, if you take that out over the year, and I didn't hear anything to the contrary, you're talking over 3,000 flights per year. And as you're going to hear from some of the people that I represent here today, that has not been the typical use of this airstrip. I thank you for your time.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Before I'm finished,
sir,
may I submit this deed?
Please do, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, good. Thank you. Well, I'll tell you what, before we proceed, we'll get this option thing at least perhaps clarified. Mr. Willard, you want to explain to us what, or your client want to tell us what's going on?
I was not the transactional attorney that dealt with those conditions, so I'll let Mr. West talk about what his understanding is on that. It's my brief understanding as far as what happened when he subdivided the property and sold it. Is that your question, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, just I mean, Mr.
The owners next to him have an option on the property, but no matter what, something like that, that's oversimplifying it.
Right.
And if you looked at it, it makes sense because it's kind of landlocked. But, I mean, we all are very well aware, but maybe, and I know Mr. Wyman is the law you put on this land, the conditional use, is the law of that land, period, amen. whether he sells it tomorrow or the next day or anybody. So whatever he's agreed to transfer is going to be whatever he gets. So I think that's an important point to make. I'll let him address, because I didn't understand everything he was reading either.
Well, I didn't either, but that's why I was asking you. Now, and it may not be important that we understand it, because the point is well taken, that whatever, you know, if a conditional use is approved with conditions, it runs with the land. So
yeah, it's that's, so it seems sort of like a red herring, but he can explain it.
Well, Guy Moran's a good friend of mine, and he wanted to purchase this land. And as I said, I didn't sell to developers that wanted to have a full-blown development.
Right.
And Guy lives there, and this is his livelihood. So he doesn't want a full-blown development in his backyard.
Right.
So when I sold, of course, he said, well, Richard, how about if I want you get old someday, and which I'm going to get old or die first, he says, would I have an option to buy that airstrip? And I said, well, Guy, if I ever decided to buy it, I would give you first rate of refusal to buy it. And I think anybody would do that that's selling property, you know, or buying property. So that's what I gave him. The other thing was, if Guy Moran changed his mind on what we discussed and he sold to people like is in opposition tonight and they forced me to quit flying, of course I would sell it. I only retain it because I want to fly. Right. You know, that's okay. Why I've got it, and I would like to continue doing that. Right. So what grounds you set tonight is going to stay with that property. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Izzo.
Thank you. My name is Michael Izzo. I live at 34568 Persimmon Place. I purchased my property in 1986, and I did do my due diligence, and I was told that the way that the airport was set up was that it was only available for use by the people who lived there. There was three or four property owners. They could fly in and out of the airport. And personally, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Mr. West and his family using the airport. I don't have a problem with Mr. Moran using the airport. He lives adjacent to it. I do have a little bit of problem with the open nature of the airport, that people can be transient and fly in and go down to Bethany Beach. And really, regardless of what Mr. West says, the letter of law is going to be what's in these conditions that are added in, and that's why I haven't been up here to complain before, because I was told per planning and zoning that it was very limited to the users of the airport, the people who live there that could use it, so I've never complained. I will say that there have been banners flown in, taken out of the airport within the last 5 years. I live right down gradient, so I mean, I'm right in the flight path. So I can speak that within the last 5 years, banners have come in and out, and they were the ones that fly down the beach, and it wasn't quite just a happy birthday banner. Now, those have gone away, and that's a good thing. I don't have a problem with the crop dusters coming in and out. Again, that's a local benefit to agribusiness. That's fine and dandy. I do think what we need to do, we need to limit the use of the airport to a select number of aircraft, and we probably need to identify them. They each have a number on their wing or their tail. Limited to those people and not transient people that can come in or out. I probably don't, if we sit down and talk about it, I probably don't even have a problem with his flying if he wants to do that one day a year. I do have a problem with proposed nighttime operations. More recently, the helicopters that do come in and out, they do hover over my house. And having been there for a very long time, I can tell you that's not something that's been going on for a long time. So I would like to see any nighttime operations limited. Again, to that end, I don't think there should be any field or directional lighting, because I think that will promote nighttime operations. I don't think there should be any operations when visibility is under 1 mile. And if you remember when Mr. Freeman's helicopter crashed, the reason it crashed was it was a heavy fog that night. We had it again this morning. So I think there needs to be limitations added to that. And one reason I'm bringing this all up is because basically these private airports are totally unregulated. They're not regulated by the FAA. They're not regulated by the state of Delaware. And they're not regulated by Sussex County except for land use. We can permit the land use. What we cannot do is regulate the way that the airport is operated. And we're not even, you know, basically we probably aren't even skilled to regulate the way that this airport is operated. So very concerned that regardless of what Mr. West says, these conditions will live on with the land forever. And he can come up and say, you know, I let my buddies fly in or out, but it's the black and white that's included in the conditional use that we have to pay attention to. I don't believe helicopters should be allowed. It's an airstrip and not a heliport, and a heliport is not what's been there for 34 years. It's been a grass airstrip. I mentioned there should be no transient aircraft or ferrying of passengers shall be permitted. That would be something I think that the neighborhood would prefer. Again, let Mr. West and his friends come and go, make use of the airport, but I don't believe people should be ferried in and dropped off and the airplanes taken off and head on to another location. No commercial activities, including but not limited to banner towing, shall be permitted. Again, the agribusiness, I think that's something that makes sense for the local economy and for the local farmers. I couldn't argue with that. And those are basically my comments. And I must say that one reason why the local neighborhood was concerned is that we did come up and look at the file. We took the time to come up and investigate it. And if you look at the file that was available to us to read, none of the things that Mr. Willard brought up tonight were contained in the file. And that's why people get concerned. Mm-hmm. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have anything in writing that you wanted to submit? Or?
I can submit my proposed conditions to either.
If you would, hand those up to our council. All right, sir. Thank you. Who's next? Who else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
My name's Howard Hitch. I live directly in the flight path. And again, I'm like Michael. In fact, I sold Michael's land. I don't oppose the airplanes. In fact, I kind of enjoy them. My donkey doesn't care too much for it once in a while. But the thing that I'm concerned with, and I think you're coming down to it, is, you know, we need some conditions on this. Because when Lawrence read that statement from the state, you know, they seem like they're eager to get an active, more active airport. And Mr. Willard talked about the bucolic conditions out there and how unsettled it is. Well, he forgot to mention about half a mile up the road, they're putting in about 2,000 houses called Millville by the Sea. So again, and the issue that I have a problem with is the helicopters. You know, I've been on them when I got out of the military. I'm never getting on another one because they're an accident waiting to happen. And when you start having helicopters crossing a lot of residential area, I think you're in for trouble. So I really, that was my major concern. I have no problem with the plane coming across. In fact, like I said, it's kind of enjoyable. But I think we really have to look at locking it in to Mr. West's use and nothing in the future. And unfortunately, the state confirmed again they were eager to put more airports in, you know, in the neighborhood, so the young lady from the state, so. Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you, and your donkey, too. Okay, who else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
My name is Alan Daisy, and I live in Selbyville, Delaware. Mm-hmm. I've been real good friends with the West family. But I have a different issue that maybe the council doesn't understand.
Okay.
Maybe I've been misled in this situation.
That's fine.
My mother and father are supposed to own the 15-foot road that goes back to the airport. I read a letter from the council that said Mr. West is proposing a 60-foot road in from 370A.
Hey, hold on just a second. Let the man finish.
They've already answered the question, but...
Well, you go ahead and set, and it's important for you to share what your understanding is.
Yes, sir.
Without everybody trying to mess with you.
Thank you.
So then if we think we need to hear from them, we'll ask them. How's that?
Okay,
you go ahead.
also understand, and I might have been misled on this deal, that that the West family mm-hmm. owns an outlet out to 17, which I think Mr. Lang touched on that base, unless I misunderstood that. So what my question is how's he going to have a right-of-way to go across my mom and dad's land to use this airport to create more traffic? If you approve it to have more airplanes coming in, then there's more cars coming out. The Del Dot survey was done on 370A. Mm-hmm. One gentleman just brought up that there's 2,000 homes supposed to be down the road on 17. Mm-hmm. So I think that the survey should have been done on 17. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Carolyn Tosti. I live in Frankfort, Delaware. That's my brother that just spoke. My parents were born and raised in that area. My father was born in 1921. My mother was born in 1923. I was also born in that area in 1943, so that makes me 65 years old.
You're telling us this because?
Because of, I want to lead into some of the deed information. My mother and father's deed was from way back, okay? They've owned this property for several years. I remember moving out on this property when I was in first grade. So that's a number of years. And according to their deed, it says that that 15-foot access road, which is off of 370A, is an access road for the people's property back where the airport is. And it was told to them that a private access road, was for only the people who need to go back to that road that own it. I have concerns about how these trucks are going back there with all of these chemicals. The only way that they can get back there is through that road. It's supposed to be a 15-foot road. It has recently been measured because dirt has been put onto the road. My parents have never been asked that they could do anything to the road to improve it. It is now 18 feet wide in some spots. I was just recently down it, and there's woods on both sides of this road, and the branches from the trees have been cut down. And it has been widened at the end, like it's I think 28 feet across. So how are all these people, and these people that have been coming back there flying in, have been having cars to go down this private access road to pick up these people to take them to the beach? I mean, what gives them the right to use, you know, Mr. West, to allow these people to go back there to do that?
I don't know, but I'll ask the question.
And I would also like to know, I do have the paper that was sent to my parents, and I can read to you how that was written.
Okay. It
goes on to, it says about the 28.55 acres, more or less. And then in parentheses, it says land lying 900 feet northwest of Route 17, 0.48 miles northeast of Road 370, Daisy Road, with access from a 60-foot private road. Application filed on behalf of Richard and Sonia West. I mean, we were under the understanding that that 15-foot road was going to be made a 60-foot road. No one has confirmed.
Ma'am, I think we may be able to, before you go too far, because the survey shows a 60-foot access completely separate from the 15-foot.
Okay. Then whoever wrote this letter should have made it a little bit clearer about where the access road was supposed to be.
Clearly on the survey, but I think we should get from Mr. Willard or Mr. West a better explanation, because I don't want you to be concerned that it's something.
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted you to, you know, I did have the letter, so, and I thank you for your time.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, Mr. Willard, do you want to come up, or your client, or?
I'm going to let Mr. West take that. There's obviously two access points. But
I would like to address that. the Daisy family, they are good friends of mine, very good friends. Al and Daisy and I have been going a long way back.
Okay.
It's confusing because the 60-foot right-of-way is actually off Route 17, a piece that I bought from Eli Collins.
Okay.
That's where my 60-foot right-of-way is. Albert Daisy, Albert Daisy,
okay.
Mr. Albert Daisy and Miss Lulu, actually, their property starts 7.5 feet from that road they're talking about. Mr. Joe Atkins, on the other side, is 7.5 feet. So there is a 15-foot road goes through there that they do not own. Okay, that road goes to that property. At one time, that was the only way through that property, and there was a horse and buggy road went through that property, and that's how they got to Frankfort.
Who owns it now?
The road actually goes with the airport farm. Their property actually, that is debatable, though, I will say that. Their property, if you look at their deeds, it actually states their property line starts 7.5 feet from the center of that road. So we're not taking your property, but that's...
Sure, just one thing. Yeah. So the 60-foot, you're not talking about expanding the 15-foot road.
No.
You're doing anything with the 15-foot road.
No.
Right? The 60-foot's going to be new.
I have used that 15-foot road just as my main road to go back to the airport.
Right.
When I carry my equipment in, I come in off Route 17, the 60-foot road, because I have wide equipment.
When that legal description was prepared for the public hearing, it was our understanding that the 60-foot access was going to serve the airport as far as the uses.
Not the 15-foot.
Not the 15-foot. Yeah, right. And the legal description doesn't even reference the 15-foot. It only references the 60-foot easement.
All right, sir. Who's next, ma'am? Come on.
One thing. Might be helpful if somebody shows her, gives her the survey. I don't think they're getting what we thought.
Why don't we do that?
My name is Lulu Daisy. I have a copy of this is my deed. Mm-hmm. We've had a surveyor in there, and he found the markers, and the road is on us. And he's going to survey the whole property.
Okay.
Ma'am, what we're saying, though, is that the road that they're talking about is completely different from that road that you're talking about. I mean, it's all the way around on Route 17. It's a totally separate road, so I don't want you to be concerned that the 60-foot right-of-way that we're talking about is in any way related to that 15 feet. It's not that road. It's a totally different road.
Well, I understand that.
Okay.
That it's on 17.
Right.
But there has never been anything. There was a counter put on the 370 road. There's no traffic on the side where the counter was put. So there's not any traffic. We live on a corner. And people have been killed. The helicopter has been down there, I don't know how many times, and picked up people. It's a very dangerous road at 17 and Daisy Road. But I'm trying to say, when they say 7.5 feet, of that is our road. And when the surveyor came in there and found the stakes, it is a 15-foot road, supposed to be, and it's all on us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Willard, there seems to be some confusion all the way around about just exactly what is proposed to be the access to the airport under this application. Are we not going to be using the 15-foot road anymore, or are we going to be using both, or what are we doing?
I'll let Mr. West address that, if that's all right.
Fine.
We do use the 15 road for automobiles, as I stated before.
Okay.
We have always used that. And I think if you'll check the regulations in the state of Delaware, if a road has been active, it cannot be closed. It has been active ever since I can remember. And it's not been in a lapse of time that it's not been used. It is a public road. I'm not saying the Daisies own it. I'm not saying I own it. But it is a road to that farm.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll point out one thing to the commission. I think the commission probably knows, since this is a conditional use, I think the commission could say which one they're going to use. You know, I think that's a condition that you all can put on it.
That's true. Thank you. Okay, who else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. I always like it when people wear these nice jewel tone and bright colors so I can pick them out easier.
Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Bill Carroll. I own property at 34724 Bennett Road. Until recently, that used to be known as the intersection of Road 370 and 371, and it's just south of the airport and the neighboring properties. I'm a full-time resident. I'm sort of a half-breed now, full-time in Washington, D.C. for the past 40 years. I bought that property with my wife in 1974, so a little bit familiar with the area there and the operations, at least on a weekend and over a couple of weeks each summer. We're making a transition to make this a permanent resident, as evidenced, but we're not here on a weekend night. Heard about it on the radio, thought we ought to find out what's going on. And I totally respect your desire not to hear repetitiveness, but I must say that while I support the existing uses, in fact, I've enjoyed them, my children, and now my grandchildren enjoy the airplanes. My wife and I don't like the helicopters. We are city people, and since 9/11, we've had a lot of helicopter noise. It's something we do not to bring the city with us is to get away from the city, and getting away from noises like helicopters has been a good thing over here. Don't like the helicopter noise. Most alarming thing that I've heard tonight is the testimony from the state representative, from the state government. That was not support. That was sheer advocacy for growth. And I don't know how you can control that through yours other than the conditions that run with the land. But I do hope that taking into consideration such as the gentleman just said about the Millville by the Sea going in there with a couple of thousand, you know, the pressure for developing that as a public airport is going to come, and that really does not reek of fairness to the people who have been there in the rural setting for a long time, ourselves included. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right, sir. Thank you, and let me assure you that so far in the state of Delaware, land use decisions are still made at this level. So we saw the state's letter, too, just like you did, but, you know, the decision's made here. All right, sir. So far. Who's next? All the way over here on this side. Camo hat. The aviator shades. Looking good.
My name is Steve Cullen. I have property on West Airport Road. I live on Daisy Road. One thing that has not been mentioned here is I'm not really crazy about having a bunch of vacationers come down here, fly over the power lines, and crash into the power lines, and then we'll all be out of power. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Okay. Yep, you're right. Nobody else has said that. Yes, ma'am, all the way in the back.
Hi. Thank you. I've been a resident of Delaware.
Your name is?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Lorraine DeDominicis June, and I live at 30732 Molly B. Road in Lewis, Delaware.
Okay.
199. 58. Whatever.
58. Anyway, you've been there how long?
Pardon? You've since 72.
Okay.
And my daughter is also a pilot, and I've heard nothing but good comments about Mr. West. My comment or my question is, if this is a private airport, do the Cormans fly out of there on a contract? and the reason I ask this, let me back up a bit, is I found out from the Mr. Skews in Dover that when I lived in a house and a farm in Felton, a plane was circling every morning at about 7 a.m. I also had a horse that died immediately after crop dusting, pets that I've had to euthanize, and these were not, I can't tell you how close they were to my house. As a matter of fact, my house was used as a pivot point. Now, I want to know, if you may not also know this, when I called EPA, Mr. Corman, I may be wrong, and he might correct me, he logs in when he flies out, when they come in. They don't have to say what they've spread, you know, and crop dusting is a euphemism for, you know, pesticide spraying or something else. They don't have to say what they're spraying, how much they've sprayed, and what it is, or if it came from China. But we are the recipients of it. Everybody in this room who lives in Sussex County, because we all breathe the same air, and we have the highest rate of cancer in this state, lung cancer. So I want to make sure that there is something being done to at least document what is being flown out of that airport, where it's being spread, what it is, what chemical, and who makes it, and what country it's from. And besides that, we're going to have an environmental disaster if one of those planes goes down over a pond or a housing development, as I heard one that I didn't hear about earlier proposed for this area because it's become so so populated. Mm-hmm. So I think that, too, is something that needs to be considered.
Okay.
I appreciate your hearing me.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Mr. Corman is regulated by the Department of Agriculture to keep pesticide license, records.
Apparently, they don't have to say what they're spraying when they fly, unless I'm mistaken.
I think
that's what Mr. Skews told me.
Mr. Skews should know better than that. He's part of agriculture, and you have to put down what you spray, when you spray, the wind conditions, everything else. So I don't believe that's true.
Okay, I'll just keep holding my breath when I drive through it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. All right. Yes, your hand in the air all the way in the back in the blue shirt.
Hopefully you're not colorblind.
I'd never be able to find anybody if I was colorblind, would I?
Didn't want to talk to you guys tonight.
Well, okay. Next.
But I'm in.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your comments.
Oh, man.
All right. Who else would like to speak? Or did you change your mind?
I changed my mind.
Oh, okay. All right.
I made some notes. Just for the record, I never heard any stories about a jet plane thing going in or any of that, and I signed the petition anyway.
We need your name, please.
I'm sorry. My name is Joe Brown. I own property on West Airport Road, and I live on Daisy Road within 1 mile of the airport.
Okay.
Again, never heard anything about the plans that were going on. I signed the petition on other grounds. Okay. I'm glad for the public hearing so that we can have our say without having our minds read. A few things that I did hear that I wanted to bring back up and make sure that you heard and consider. Mr. Willard even pointed out that in the event of a violation, that the conditional use could be yanked. And there's already been violations. He's already gotten notices and he ignored them. What's to say, or a notice, and what's to say that he wouldn't ignore future notices? How are we to trust it?
I think, apparently, ma'am, there have been, in all fairness to the people, there have been two notices. One he ignored, he didn't understand, he ignored it. Maybe he did understand it and he ignored it. The second notice, he came in, he understood what it was, came in, and he's going through the process. So, I mean, yeah.
Weren't there conditions outlined in the first letter that he should cease and desist use of the airport until it was cleared up?
I don't know. I thought that was in the second notice.
I don't know.
Anyway,
go ahead. The other thing that appealed, that jumped out at me, mm-hmm. was the idea that he doesn't want to change anything. Well, originally, the airstrip was on a 114-acre parcel, and 90 acres of that has been sold off. So now you're talking about something that has definitely changed. Now it's 25.8 acres. And per his own statement, from time to time just opens it up to the public and has not said no to anyone for landing. So what's the difference between a small private airport that's open to everyone who asks if they can come in and a public airport? Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. All the way in the back.
Thank you.
My name's Ross Cropper. I live off Daisy Road. And I'd like to see the helicopter usage limited to emergency helicopters.
Okay.
And I think the reason they're going for the 9 flights a day is to accommodate crop dusting.
I would imagine.
I think that should be, the crop dusting should be in one area, and the daily flight should be limited.
Okay.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, we thank you. Okay, anybody else? Yes, sir.
Norman Farrell, I live at 34218 Roxana Road. Been there approximately 8 years. Yes, I looked into the fact that there was a airstrip behind me, airstrip, private airstrip. In fact, after I was there a short period of time, I made the comment to the gentleman, Mr. Collins, that I bought the property from, and I have 4 acres adjoining to join up with the airstrip. My concern was the fact that plane came in there at night. There was no lighting. Then I see these pickup trucks coming in there, and they're trying to light the field for this guy. He made 3 attempts. He finally got in. Nobody got killed. Mr. West came over, introduced himself to me, and being he's on a pedestal, he's a good guy. He won't lie. He came around a couple other times because he had a complaint. He come over to check, see if anything was wrong over my place. So I just don't like the crop dusters coming so close and buzzing my house mm-hmm. with a full load throttle to, you know, they're hard to get up in the air. Oh, they won't do that. Well, while we stood there, correct me if I was wrong, he buzzed my house. He could recognize the pilot, the guy was so close. One other time, on another occasion, he came over because someone else had called him. He came over to see if everything was all right. Said he might have a few planes coming in. It was picnic time. Got no problem with that. Helicopters, no problem. They can land anywhere anyway, regardless. They don't need any emergency pad. At that time, he was flying banners in and out of there. Took this guy 3 times before he picked that banner up, which meant he had to keep taking off, coming in, try it again. He was right there. Fertilizer, if he should have the MSDS data sheets posted for public viewing, what is contained in them, when it's stored, it's left on that property sometimes for a day, it has the hazard of exploding. If everything is put in place, he's got his guidelines, and he's monitored, I've no objections.
Okay.
I've talked to him personally, he's been over my house, we spoke. We never got in no hassle. We had an understanding. We talked. We figured it was settled. So if there's guidelines in place, data sheets are posted, and it adheres to the rules that you guys decide, no problem.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Sandra Kersey, and I live at 34269 Roxana Road, which is located on the south side of that road, and it's approximately 900 feet slightly southeast of the airstrip. I also own property in front of and to the southeast, but near the airport mm-hmm. on that side.
Okay.
I don't think anybody objects to Mr. West having exactly what he has there, what he had there. Over the years, as far as emergency goes and police, I mean, nobody would object to an emergency situation happening. Nobody has objected to the crop duster. But from what I hear Mr. West saying, he wants it as his private personal use, but he wants to expand it, and he wants to have more planes there, and he wants to have tourism and people coming in, transients coming in and out. When my husband and I first moved there, the airplanes would come down the airstrip and over my field. Since that time, the flight path has seemed to change. Now they fly down my driveway, behind my garage, over my house, through my front yard, And I object to this. I object to the helicopters that coming in for landing, and they're very noisy. The airplanes coming off are very noisy. I've seen planes go under the electric wires. I've seen planes come so close to them, people obviously not from the area that don't know. There's no safety precautions anyplace near this airstrip. The area is agriculture, was agricultural. At this point, it's being slowly developed. Millville by the Sea, will, as someone mentioned, will be there, less than a mile from the airstrip. Less than a mile from the airstrip, there's a church being built, big church being built. There's another church, and there's also a small daycare, daycare center. I don't know what the 60-foot private road is. There's been no studies that I know of. This will access directly Route 17 or Roxana Road. I haven't seen any studies. You're going to have all the traffic from Millville by the Sea. You're going to have the church traffic. And this road, this 60-foot access, is as big as Route 17. It seems like that's an awfully large road for a private use airport, if nothing else is going on around it. I don't know. Basically, that's what I have to say. I don't see any supervision over there. I don't see any safety precautions over there. And I've seen the use of the airstrip expanded over the years since we've lived there, including the use of helicopters, which never came in when we first moved there. And I did do my homework, mm-hmm. and I was told that there was one man that had a private airstrip, and he flew in and out of there, and that it could never be changed because it's a residential area. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Do you remember who told you that?
The realtor.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Okay. Yeah. Who else would like to speak?
You got it.
Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay. I think maybe we should take a show of hands. Okay, all those who are in favor. Did you want to speak, sir?
Yes.
May I? Yeah, come on. You just made it under the wire.
I left, right?
Huh?
I'm the only guy in the place left.
Yeah, but she'll be waving at me when I ask.
Well, I'm sorry. My name is Richard Kersey.
Okay.
I live directly across the street from that airport we're talking about.
All right, sir.
I heard Mr. West's lawyer and Mr. West himself say that he got a note to come in and file, and he ignored it because he didn't understand it. And then a year later, he got one, and he understood it, so he came in to do it. And nobody mentioned these other two that came from the county. No one mentioned that the second one he got, which he said he came and did, to, filled out the papers, that he did 6 or 8 months late. They gave him a year, and he took an extra 6 or 8 months. Now, these are the papers from the town. From the county, and I'd be glad to let you have them to copy.
Sure, if you would give them to our director there.
And I'd like to have them back.
Well, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
We can copy them right now.
You can copy them for him? Okay, there you
we'll
go.
Copy and give them right back to him.
There you go.
Take us a few minutes.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you. Okay, we'll have a show of hands. All those in favor, support. Keep them up, one hand only. Applicants don't count. Never mind. Meanwhile, you can. We count you, I guess. You do count, but it's kind of understood that you're in support of your application. So 1, 2, 3. Start with 3. There you go.
22.
Okay. And this is just for our records. The decision does not get made based on the show of hands. Okay. Opposed.
Some of the same people.
Oh, no. Okay.
He got you. really tells us how many people are here.
Yeah, that's that, and actually, yeah, that's as much as anything 19. Else. 19, okay. Well, all of you are neighbors. Many of you are friends with each other. There are good people on both sides of this issue, and that's the thought I'm going to leave you with tonight. And I'm going to ask you to do one more thing for me because you have been so incredibly well behaved, okay? I'm going to close this public hearing in about 15 seconds, and when I do, you're going to have the natural urge to want to get up and start talking, okay? Believe it or not, we have more public hearings to do, okay? So what I'm going to ask you to do is when we close this public hearing, I'm going to ask you to get up if you're not going to stay. You're welcome to stay the rest of the night with us and into Friday morning or however long it takes. But if you're going to leave, please just get up, quietly walk out, and you can talk in the ante room there or out on the steps and stay as long as you want out there. But we've got some more business to do, and we appreciate you being here. We'll close the public hearing and invite you to stay if you like, or you may call the office tomorrow and see if we make a decision.